of Prepare Without Fear. I am Jim Phillips, sharing with you some thoughts, ideas, concepts, and preparing to meet whatever future comes to you and meet that with joy. Meet it with anticipation. Certainly meet things without fear. I mean, I'm not saying that like we look for trouble or we're just waiting for that disaster or that emergency to occur. On the contrary, you're prepared in such a way that you can be at peace knowing that, you know, if something happens, I'm going to deal with it. I will be okay. That's the kind of attitude that you want to have. And by the way, thinking back on those 3 hours of lectures I did yesterday in another city, one of the things that I point out to people is that it about having this attitude of being filled with joy. It's about being at peace with yourself and with things around you. It's not about worrying about what might happen. You only worry about things when you're unprepared to deal with them. If you don't know what to do about it, those things then become frightening. They become something you worry about, and how are you going to take care of you and your family, your grandkids, your children, whoever it is. That's when the future looks threatening, looks gloom and doom and terrifying. So you prepare, but in that preparation, I want you to understand, it's not something that you arrive at and say, golly, I'm like done, I'm finished, I'm here. It's not a destination. Preparation, becoming prepared, building self-reliance is a process. And it's something that I believe that continues as long as you're alive. You're in the process of preparing to meet your future and become more and more self-reliant all along the way. All right. Back again to some of these things that you may want to carry and have with you. I talk about my castaway kit. See, I may be riding in somebody else's vehicle, and I'm not going to take all of the tools out of my car and all the supplies and everything from under the seats and go shove them in their car before I go anyplace. That's like rude. It's also a little impractical. You may carry a bag, as I did, and I'll tell you about what I threw in the baggage compartment of this plane when we took off yesterday. But I have some things with me, and it's kind of a little carry bag that I have that has miscellaneous things, some of the supplements and things that I use. And then in there are the, let's see, what I just look at it right here. I've got the extra sunglasses in there. I have some spare glasses, you know, that if I need to read something, I break what I have. It's in there. I've got a charger for the cell phone to keep it going. And then, again, some of these supplements and sprays and things that I use. There's some surgical tape. There's one of the refillable butane lighters with the refillable fuel. And I have a spoon. I've got a couple of spoons in there. If I'm needing to eat out of a can of beans or what have you, that's a little better than trying to do it with your finger or your pocket knife. So there's a spoon tucked away in some of my multivitamins. There's a toothbrush there, a few things, even a couple of napkins, you know, to try and keep cleaned up, a couple of cough drops. Those kinds of things, but I have stuck in the side pocket some of the extra AA and AAA batteries to fit some of my recorders so I can keep them going. I record a lot of things when I travel. And there's a multi-tool shoved in the pocket over here, too, and an extra knife in case something happens to the one on my belt, or if I need to lend one to somebody, I'll lend them my spare knife versus my primary knife. So that goes with me. That was in the plane. The other thing that I put in the luggage compartment of the plane, since we're flying over the Rocky Mountains in the winter, and we're going to be traveling back at night, so I had my my PALS clothing, Phillips Arctic Living System clothing. Those things were just in a bag so I could drop them in there. And I don't have clothing for everybody, but if we end up in an emergency and stuck someplace on a road or in a field or in a deserted airport, and we need to work on some things, I can take care of myself and help other people. That's part of the reason that you do that. So I'm going to take things along with me no matter where I go. Tell you about the one that's in my pocket right after this break, the Castaway Kit, in just a few moments.
Uh-huh. The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock-bottom pricing, with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time, and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now, you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Phillips, continuing this beautiful Sunday afternoon with our discussion of some of the things you can have with you to prepare for the future without fear. As I mentioned before the break, about my castaway kit that I have with me. This is what happened a number of years ago. I was sitting in a movie theater watching the movie Castaway. And that's what this is named after. And if you haven't watched that movie, many people have. Get it. In fact, watch it again. It's actually, it has some good things in it. It's got some really dumb Hollywood things in it, I know. But you skip over a few of those silly things. It gives you a feel for something. It's not a training program exactly, but yet it'll give you a flavor for what it might be like. And there are some details that were quite accurate in there. But I was sitting in this movie, watch what was going on with Tom Hanks, the character he was playing when he was stranded on this island, and some of the difficulties it had. First off, I reached down into my right pocket, and there's my lanyard, and there's my Victorinox Swiss Army knife, the Ranger model, which is the one that I like. It has a good collection of tools, but it's not too big. It has enough to do the job. I'm going like, boy, would you want to have that knife in his situation? Desperately, you'd want to have that. And then as we went along and I was watching what happened, I'd reach around on my left hip pocket, and yeah, there it was, this little pouch that I carry with me that I call the Castaway Kit. Well, I now call it the Castaway Kit in honor of the movie The Castaway. And it was kind of comforting as I was living the movie, you know, how you kind of get into it. I was thinking like, oh, man, if I was there, whew, my life would be better. So these are things that I have with me all the time. I'll tell you what's in this little Castaway Kit. My thought has been this for years. As long as I have my pants on, I've got some stuff with me. I've got my pocket knife because it's strapped right to me. It's not loose in my pocket. It's on a piece of 550 cord. Told you about that one earlier. Tied to a belt lanyard so that I'm just not going to drop it and lose it. Now, I can unclip it if I want to, but I keep it clipped on me almost all the time. I certainly don't unclip it and hand it to somebody else that may wander off with it, especially your grandkids. You know, you love your grandkids, but they'll just set your knife down and lose it for you. So I hang on to it. So that's with me, and then also in my left hip pocket is this little pouch. Now, I wanted it to be just about the same size as a wallet, because, you know, you're kind of used to, a guy's used to sitting on his wallet, so you can tolerate sitting on another wallet on the other side. Now, for you ladies, these things are going to go in your purse or other places. Some of the women that I've trained, and some of them actually worked with me down at the office there, they have their pocket knives, and they carefully select some of their clothing often so that it has a pocket where the pocket knife can go, and they figured out how to put lanyards on there and everything. In other words, it's kind of part of our uniform down at the office. It's not like you have to wear it, but golly, you really should if you're serious about these things. Here's what's in my Castaway Kit. Just in general, this is tools. Obviously, there's no clothing in there, and there's no place to put any food in this thing, and I can't store water in it. But I can have some tools that can make all the difference in the world to me in some situations. First off, the pouch itself that I just made up out of some scrap leather that I have, some suede leather, and it folds up around it. I wanted a big chunk of leather because leather is very useful for repairing shoes, things like that, but especially shoes. Boy, your shoes are falling apart on you and you wear holes in them, and I've been there before. Not only is it painful, but it can be, you know, downright limiting in your ability to move and work. So I've got a big patch of leather on here. The whole thing folds. If I was to unstitch everything and lay it out, it's more than a foot long in one direction, and the other direction looks like it's about 8 inches, almost 8 inches. But these things kind of fold up together to wrap around it, and on the bottom end of it, there's these little pouches where I can slip things into that hold them in there. The first thing that I have in it is the ability to maintain my pocket knife. I have diamond sharpening stones, a little plastic paddle that has a diamond metal that's bonded to it, and it's a fine stone so that I can put a fine edge on them. I have a round stone in here that's in a little case if I need to sharpen a serrated edge on my multi-tool, and it has a groove in it for fish hooks if you're trying to maintain a fish hook, but it would allow me to sharpen. Then I have another little backup, a very thin one tucked down in there, that will let me keep an edge on a stone. So I have multiple sharpening devices in this because keeping an edge on your knife is so important, and it's really hard to sharpen them on a rock. I watch some survival programs, and they show a guy who's supposedly sharpening a stone on it like a piece of granite. It's like, yeah, that'll put an edge on it. yes, it'll do something. It will help, and if you select the right stones and you work at it carefully, you can do it, but it's a difficult thing to do. I'd much rather have a diamond stone with me. The other thing that's very important in here, the two probably most critical things, is the ability to make fire. Now, if I'm going to be sitting on this thing, I've been sitting on this thing for about 9 years now, carrying it around in my wallet. You got to have something that's durable. It's gotten wet and damp. It's been sweated on, and it's been rained on, and then it's sat on all the time. Trying to put some wooden matches in there is just not going to work. They're going to bust up, break up, they'll fail. I guess you could get a couple of them in a tiny little hard tubing, but you're not going to get very many. I wanted something that's extremely durable. So what I carry is what I call it's the durable match. It's these magnesium fire starters, either a rectangular flat one that has a striker down one side, or you can get round ones that's a little bar of magnesium. and then has a sparker that went to the edge of your knife. Now, it doesn't have to be your knife. It can be just any kind of a sharp, hard object. It's not like flint and steel where it has to be flint and steel to get the spark. This is literally something that's sharp and hard. You drag it across this sparker that's on there, and you'll get a bright, long-burning spark off of it. Much better than flint and steel. But they're not easy to use. If you're going to have one of these things, buy one of these magnesium fire starters. Don't just buy it and say, oh, I got a way of building a fire. Let me tell you what. If you haven't built a fire with one of these things before, you'll struggle with it. And I struggled with it. And I'm one of the best fire builders on planet Earth. I have a lot of experience building fire. And the first time I'm using it, I had to figure out the technique. And the technique that they show on the package is not that great. It'll work, and that's where I started. And then I began experimenting with, man, there's got to be a better way to use this thing. The magnesium that's on here, the magnesium is a soft metal, and it will burn. You get a hot spark in it. So by taking your knife and on the backside away from the sparker, you take the knife edge, and you don't try and slice it off. You scrape it, and it peels up these little feathers of magnesium. And you put one of these sparks down in there, and it'll light that. Magnesium, that's what is in the flares, and that's what makes fireworks work and some of those things. That gives you a really bright light. It's also extremely hot. But it burns very fast. These little feathers burn very fast. The other thing is they're light as air, and they blow away very easily. But that will work, and that's what makes us a very durable match. This thing, if it's wet, cold, frozen, it's been buried in manure for 20 years, it will still work. Just clean off the muck and drag a knife over, and it's ready to go. Scrape off some magnesium, because the magnesium itself doesn't get wet in the metal, and even if it is damp or what, it'll still burn. But you've got to scrape a really nice-sized pile of magnesium in a very calm area, and then have all the rest of your tinder materials around it ready to go, and then you kind of practice how you'd shoot a spark down into it, and by golly, it'll light and go right off. But there is an easier way of using it. That I found, if you have some dry cotton, as in a cotton ball, or dryer lint would work fine, or if you have like a cotton sock or something else, cotton is best. If you had a cotton shirt, you can take your knife blade and scrape and scrape and scrape and make some little fuzzies, but you need a good size, chunk of it, kind of like a cotton ball or half a cotton ball. And if you were to take the cotton ball, and by the way, I'll tell you how I have some cotton balls in this little castaway kit, you take the cotton ball, and you hold it right in the knife, right where you let the knife kind of cut through it to drag through this material, and then you scrape it across there, and the spark is right in the cotton ball. So you just scrape it, you light the cotton, drop it right into the rest of your stuff, and ready to go without using the magnesium. Magnesium is a backup, being very durable, but it's hard to work with. So I've got the ability to build fire. Now, I mentioned cotton balls. How do you have a cotton ball that stays dry in a pouch like this? I experimented with two things. One of them I knew would be very reliable. The other one I figured might work, and it's worked quite well. I just take some of the clear packaging tape, the long-term storage tape, took some cotton balls and just kind of rolled them up and then folded this tape over and let it glue on itself all around it, seal it up. They're still perfectly dry. They're sealed up and they're well. Now, you can punch holes in that tape, and it would fail fairly easily. But the cotton balls wrapped up in packaging tape, a couple of layers of that, have worked out very well. Here's another way of protecting your cotton balls that you want to have with you in your emergency supplies. I took a little piece of Tygon tubing. It's a clear tubing. You can get it at the home, depot places, where they have the big box hardware stores. And a lot of other places have it. What is this? This must be the ID on this stuff, I guess, is about a quarter inch. It's not very large. Inside diameter, probably a quarter inch. And it is, 3.5 inches long, about 4 inches long. Tubing, one end of it I took and I just plugged it up with hot glue. Get your hot glue gun, plug that thing up. The woman's tool. The guy uses duct tape. The housewife, she uses hot glue to fix everything. So that's, guys are duct tape to fix everything. And so your wife is going to have a glue gun. If you don't have one, go borrow it. Plug up one end of this thing. Then take your cotton balls. By the way, I like free cotton balls. You know where you find free cotton balls? You buy your vitamins and supplements and a lot of those things. They have cotton shoved in them. Don't ever throw that stuff away. It's free. Keep it. Use it. But you can use the regular little cotton balls. Just tamp them down in there. Just roll them up and shove a bunch of them in there. I have a half a dozen or more of them in here. And then seal off the other end with hot glue. It's sealed up until you cut it open with your pocket knife. Now you're ready to build a fire with this dry cotton that you can have in your wallet, as I've had it here for 9 years now. And more right after this break on The Castaway Kid. I am Jim Phillips, Air Without Fear.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Attention, this is an RBN financial news bulletin. Have you ever wanted to get out of debt, maybe even make some of your debts disappear completely? If so, and you're an RBN listener, there is a very real chance you will be able to do it. Here is why. A new manual has just been published that reveals how you can get out of debt in 90 minutes without any loans or bankruptcy whatsoever. The insider secrets revealed allow you to get out of debt so fast and so completely that it makes some people feel like they're stealing. But they're not stealing. The secrets taught in the manual are 100% legal and 100% ethical. It's just that bankers, debt collectors, and credit card companies don't want you to know about these loopholes. Don't be a prisoner of debt. Go to outin90.com. That's www.outin90.com or call 877-327-0365. RBN listeners receive a free DVD with purchase.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our renewable energy solar program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our renewable energy solar system converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce up to 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year. It is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permit hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner on RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
Welcome back to Prepare Without Fear. I'm Jim Phillips on this beautiful afternoon, finishing up on my Castaway kit, that little pouch that's in my left hip pocket all the time that has a few of these tools in there that let me keep my knife sharp, let me build fire, and then repair some other things. One of the other things we have in here is some needles. I remember watching Castaway, that how much he needed to have fire, how much he needed to have the ability to cut and shape and work on things, and how much he needed the ability to repair clothing and footwear. Well, I have some large kind of darning needles that are in here. I also have a little, and see, some of these things, they fit in these little pouches, these little slots that I just stitched in here with my hand sewing all. Then I've got a tube. I keep all kinds of stuff. I'm one of these guys, I guess, that keeps some of these junk. Pencil leads, these automatic pencil leads come in. Some of them have really thick plastic. They're really hard, durable, so I hang on to those things. And then here I have smaller needles, hand needles, but also the needles for my hand sewing awl, the kind of thing you can use to repair shoes with, that you can resole shoes with. And there's a little collapsible, little folding expedition sewing awl that has the chuck that holds the needles. And then I have the needles, and then I have some of the sewing awl thread, the really heavy-duty nylon wax thread, that if I need to resole a shoe, I can do that. I've resoled shoes in the past with my sewing awls. That's my castaway kit. Of course, then I have the leather, which also is a supply. Oh, one other thing I forgot to tell you about. I set it aside there. I have a small, this is a 4-inch pair of vice grips. Now, I've got my pocket knife for cutting. You can have a multi-tool. Multi-tools are nice, but this little pair of vice grips is excellent because you can clamp and hold on to things, and it does have a wire cutter in it. It'll work as a kind of as a regular pair of pliers, but with the ability to clamp it onto something and hold it or bind them, I like having those kinds of things. And this little pair that'll go in here. So there's my castaway kit. That's my toolkit in my hip pocket that would allow me to build fire, cut, maintain, shape, chop, whatever I have to do, wire things together because I've got the pliers. You know, when you're out someplace, even on this desert island that Tom Hanks was on, as they showed in there, which is reality, there's all kinds of junk washing up that you would be able to use. And you can find materials and things around you very often. Now, if you're stuck with your vehicle, that's the reason I want to have this thing with me. Even if I'm in, you know, somebody else's car, I have tools that I can start harvesting materials out of that vehicle, or like out of that plane if we ended up in an emergency situation. Sometimes you just start cutting those things up to use them. Well, let's talk further about that, because here were some of the other questions that came in that I wanted to answer this week. They were on what do you salvage out of a car, and how would you use some of those things? Well, assuming we have some tools, it makes it a lot easier. So I'm going to make the assumption we have tools with us and nothing else. You have your castaway kit and your pocket knife, or you have a pair of pliers, wire strippers. That'll let you do a huge amount of things. But let's go back and look at some of the things I mentioned last week and review and give you a little more details. By the way, here again, I really, truly appreciate RBN and what they do, because you have a library of information from a lot of people, not just me, but in these classes. If you like what you're hearing here and you're new with us, go back and listen to the series. This is like about number 16 or so in the series, and you can get a lot of information about these principles that I teach and the last 4 or 5 weeks on cold weather and winter safety and preparedness. Last week we talked about some of these emergencies and vehicles, but I had more questions that came in that apparently I didn't cover well enough. I didn't have any notes last week. I was just talking off the top of my head sitting in this hotel room as I realized I was on this trip. I wanted to do the program anyway. So let's think about this. Into the vehicle, what's one of the most important things that you have in the vehicle that can help you, particularly in when it's cold? And it doesn't have to be like, you know, really cold to want to get into these things. The materials you have in the seats of the cars is absolutely wonderful. You got some excellent insulation. If you remember in the previous classes, I talked about the PALS clothing, the Philips Arctic Living System clothing, uses open cell foam. Well, one of the most common places you're going to find foam is in the furniture. Well, car seats, that's furniture in a car. They usually have a lot of it in there. Now, there's some springs, there's some heavy rods and wire that's in there. There'll be a lot of foam. There may be some other kind of batting materials, different materials, but almost all of them that have been manufactured for many years right now have a lot of foam. In fact, some of your bucket seats are nothing but a wire frame that has all this foam that's just injected and molded around it. That's why you like to have a pocket knife, so you can slice it out of there. A lot of seats, they'll have an inch or so of foam that's just a layer that's in there over top of springs and other materials. So depending on how the seat is constructed, you're going to find foam and or other materials you can use. Pocket knife, wonderful thing to have, so you can start taking the seams apart. We'll talk a little more about how you might fabricate some things out of the seats of a car to take care of your cold hands, cold feet, cold head, cold body right after this break with I am Jim Phillips with you this day, and prepare without fear.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars, for nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places." People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of human wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs. It discusses America and Prophecy, the Antichrist, Tyrants and Wars, Secret Societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to be prepared for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials, Packet F, 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715. Or mail P.O. Box 771, Athens, Tennessee, 37371.
Come on, Bill. 2 weeks ago, you were riding a bicycle.
For some time now, you've listened to our corny DidYouRobBillGates.com ads. So let's get serious for a moment. DidYouRobBillGates.com can really show you how to make money with your own home-based business and will give you the ability to quit your job, pay off debt, or how about buying some silver and gold for the future or retirement? What about just being around more for your family? DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how to increase your cash flow so you can get the things in life you want. What if all it took was answering the phone? Could you do that? When the cash flow increases, it's amazing what you can do. It's about independence and freedom. DidYouRobBillGates.com can show you how. Don't wait any longer. Go to DidYouRobBillGates.com. That's DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hi, this is Brother Michael Diamond. You can now get the most important package ever on what has happened to the Catholic Church in the last 50 years. Find out how this massive crisis concerning the Catholic Church happened, what happened, and how the Bible predicted it would take place in the last days. The package contains 6 DVDs that contain 10 different programs, 2 books that combined are over 1,000 pages and other information. Order now at our website, mostholyfamilymonastery.com. That's mostholyfamilymonastery.com. The last word monastery is spelled M-O-N-A-S-T-E-R-Y. Or call us at 1-800-275-1126. That's 1-800-275-1126. Or mail in your order to us at 4425 Schneider Road, Fillmore, New York, 14735. The total cost for this massive package of information is only $10, $15 for UPS Ground, or $30 outside the U.S.
For me, Jim Phillips, you can send them to via email to askjim@preparemyfamily.com. That's askjim@preparemyfamily.com. Or you can leave a voicemail at toll-free at 1-888-U-GET-SET. That's 888, the letter U, get set. And my staff will pick those things up and pass them along or get answers to you. I'd like to have your questions so that we can get them answered over the air here for everybody. Appreciate the comments that come in. Appreciate the questions that come in. Helps us guide this program. So talking about these seats that we were cutting apart, that's why you want the pocket knife so you can cut them apart. Don't just hack into them and chop into them. The materials that's around the seat. Now, you have three basic kinds of materials. Might be leather. Might be plastic, might be fabrics, might be combinations of those things. best way to do it is we want to use those fabrics, those materials. They can be very useful in making some of our headwear, our handwear, our footwear. So we want to save the material. So don't just whack into it. Get to a seam and start taking the seam apart. Now, by the way, the thread, don't chop it up either. This thread that they stitch them together with is really heavy-duty thread. Just begin slipping that thread apart. It's a lock stitch, locked on both sides. And so when you cut the thread on one side, then you can save it on the other side in one longer piece. And so wrap it up and hang on to that thread. You can now use it to stitch things back together. The fabrics or the covering that's on there, again, can be used for the outside of a mitten. Now, you may not have a fancy mitten that has a thumb on it. It's just a paw. But the foam that you've cut and split and folded over and then shoved inside of this kind of a little bag that you made out of one of these fabrics, it'll insulate you very, very well. So, you know, you can build all kinds of things. You could do headwear. Now, if you happen to have like a hood on a coat that wasn't well insulated, then just making a kind of a foam sock that goes over your head that wraps around your head and stitch that together and then put your hood over top of it will do an amazing job. Footwear is going to take a little more work. What I've used to make the sole of the footwear, because you're like, I got to have something big to put this big chunk of foam down inside. So you will have to have a sole for it. That's where the carpeting, the floor mats, but the carpeting in particular is really good. So get that old floor mat up there and cut that thing up. Now, the question might be, which way do you put the pile, you know, the fuzzy side of it? You actually want to put it down to the outside and put the backing inside. You make a thing that's kind of like a, like it's going to be shaped kind of like a shoebox, not quite that deep, but it's just going to be this kind of square thing. Don't worry about making it a fancy shape or anything, just this rectangular trough that's extra, extra, extra big, wide, and longer than your foot is by quite a bit, and that'll let you get foam in there. Now, insulation for the insole can be made from more of this carpeting you stack up. Now, it's not the best materials, particularly if it's really wet and mushy. It's going to get wet, but your street shoes are going to get wet, too. When it's colder, well below freezing, things are dry, and it's so much easier to live out there when it's cold. I mean, when it's zero or colder, that's the best time. People ask me, or I ask people in classes, you know, what's the best temperature to camp at? You know, and it's like 78 degrees, and it's like, oh, that's an attitude problem. Best temperature to camp at is between 20 below zero and zero. Below zero, those are ideal temperatures because they're not so brutally cold that it's difficult to work with things. But yet things are incredibly dry, easy to stay dry. If you have breathable materials on, the moisture wants out in the worst kind of way. So I really like living at temperatures a bit below zero. Well, whatever the temperatures are, you'll have to deal with them. The colder, the better. But if you put that fuzzy pile down to the outside, it gives you good traction on snow and ice. It does a great job. And it wears very, very well. Now, you're saying, well, how do I stitch this thing up? Well, perhaps, you know, if you had your castaway kit, you've got some tools in there, as I do. But if you don't have that little folding, collapsible sewing awl, you're going like, how can I, you know, cut the sides and fold it up to make this box-shaped thing? Well, something that you can use out of the vehicle is going to be the wiring. Now, if you had supplies like I talked about in my little truck, or in the backs of my station wagon, I always, 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 always have baling wire, the form tying wire. That's needle and thread put together at once right there. You take your wire cutters and just snip it off as sharp of an angle as you can. It's got a point on it, and all you have to do is just twist it and push it through the material, bend it, and you just literally stitch through. Now, it's kind of stiff, so it's not as easy to work with as regular thread, but you can do that. You can literally just make kind of a zigzag stitch up there. It won't be a lock stitch, but it's certainly not going to pull out. Or you could go through and just make individual loops. You'd poke it through, bend it over, come over, you know, a quarter inch, 3/8 of an inch, bend it back out, poke it through, and then you can take twist it on the outside. And the only problem with having that twisted over part is you got to watch out. It'll snag things and tear up your clothing and stuff. But you can do it any number of ways. Just hook that stuff through the material, hold it together. You could also be using the electrical wiring that's in the car. Now, the electrical wiring, it's stranded. It's some kind of twisted strands of wire. So if you'll cut out a piece of electrical wire, and as I suggest, don't do something that disables the car yet. But I may take some wiring that goes to a door light or goes to the radio or something like that. It doesn't matter. Now, here's the thing to be careful about. If you're when your ignition is on and it energizes things in the car, you don't want something hanging out where it's going to short something, blow fuses, and or drain batteries or start fires. So be careful about what you're cutting out. I mean, you get to the wiring that goes to a tail light. You know, that's not critical to the car's function in terms of being mobile or running the engine. So you'll get some wire, and then you'll strip off the outer insulation, and those little strands of wire in there, they're stiff. Now, they're fairly flexible, but just by carefully turning them and holding them close, you can work them through fabrics. You can literally stitch with those strands of wire. Little things like that you can do. You may be want to twist three strands of wire together to make it a little bit stronger. That'd be fine. Just take them, twist them between your fingers and roll them up real tight. And you'll have to fuss with them to get them to work. You might be using the punch on your knife, right? The sewing awl, the awl that's on my knife, you can pre-punch a little hole to make it easier to push that thread through. Suppose you want to use, we talked about pulling the thread out of the seat. I said, don't throw that away because you can use it to stitch with. Where do you get a needle? If you don't have a needle, I have needles in my castaway kit, and that's the reason I want to save the thread, because I could take my needle and just sew like crazy with it. How would you make a needle where you could use thread if you felt like you needed thread? Here again, the wire, these little twisted wire, the electrical wire that has the multi-strands in it, you can use that for sewing with by taking and folding it, or take your thread that you want to sew with, and like an eye of a needle, you'll twist over the wire over top of it real tight, and then you'll twist it very, very tightly down there, and it'll work best if you have a pre-punched hole like with your sewing awl, so it doesn't drag too tightly over that. It'll want to snag and hang up. But you can use it to pull thread through little holes. So a lot of things that you can do. That's why you have insulation, you have fabrics, you have thread, and you have some stiff rods and wire that you might be able to use for other kinds of things. Footwear, headwear, handwear, all those things you can work together. And I'm going to make the tread, as I was describing about this emergency footwear. I'm stranded someplace way in the middle of nowhere. I finally figured out I'm not going to be found on any walkout, or I just don't want to freeze my feet while I'm hanging out around the car, and I'm going to need to work outside and build a fire and a few things like that. So I'm going to make some footwear using the carpet and then the fabric from the seats. Preferably something that's, you'd really like it to be the fabric seat would be the best, and something that's not waterproof, you can breathe through, and that's what you'd want to sew on this thing just to make a bag that goes up. And then using wire, the electrical wire, or your 550 cord, or the thread that you pulled out of the seats, really strong stuff, then you can just take and use it as lacing to wrap up the leg to pull that shape of that bag around you. Now, we put the foam in there. That seat has foam in it that you can use. If it's a molded seat, has a big chunk of foam, you might just be hacking out a big chunk of that stuff and slicing it to put your foot down inside of it. It may not be real comfortable, but it'll insulate the heck out of you. It's great stuff. Or you may have sheets of it that you fold up around you, and you'll just step down on it, fold it around the foot, under the foot, over top the foot, up the leg. Slip it down inside of your fabric bag that has this carpet bottom on it, and then lace it up with wire or with the cord that you have, and you've got something that will insulate you very, very well. You do not have to freeze your feet. You do not have to be an amputee. You have to volunteer to be an amputee if you have a car, because those seats will take care of you very, very well. So there's some ideas about how you'd make things. By the way, that carpeting that you might cut up out of the floor mats, you can use it. If you cut up the seat, you might have wires that you're trying to sit on, and you may still want to be driving the car, you know, once you get things going, you get found or somebody plows the road. Well, you can now use some of that carpet that you chop up and put on the seat. You can sit on it. Or if you're setting up camp outside, rather than sitting on a cold rock log or the snow, you can take the floor mat, cut it into squares and sit on top of it to give you some insulation. I know I mentioned last week about the usefulness of glass, like in the mirror, where you would break the glass rather than a windshield or a side. And windshields and side glass are tempered in such a way that it's hard to get useful cutting, things out of it. But the mirrors, generally you can break them and get something that have a sharp edge. So if you didn't have a knife, you'd have a way of cutting some things. It's not real convenient. Be careful you don't get cut. But you can, of course, use the glass for that. Also, the mirrors for reflecting. If you have some sunlight, you may be able to attract some attention. The hood of a vehicle can be useful as a sled or a skid. This is why you like to have some tools so that you can unbolt that hood and take it off and turn it over and put some ropes on it. It's kind of rounded in the front, usually in a little bit, swoop shape, so that would be the end that you'd pull with, and by using your cords or ropes that you have and or using the wire, you can make a rope to pull things with. Now, if you have the tarps and the plastic sheet, as I talked about, that's a way of towing things. Plastic sheet is quite slick on snow. Just be sure you keep it on the snow, because if you drag it over rocks and sticks and what have you, you're going to tear it up. That's the advantage of the hood. You drag it over a rock or a stick, all it's going to do is scratch the paint job. But you're not too worried about paint job at this point in time. So there's materials like that around you that you can use. Here's the thing from the old days when we had the old cars that had the round headlights. They are useful for starting a fire if you can harvest the reflector out of it. Now, it's not an easy thing to do. Because you have a tendency to break up the back on them. But the old round headlights, and hopefully you have a couple of them because you'll have to practice with this, and you need to get the vacuum out of them, and they have a little nib on the back where they draw the vacuum on it. So the first thing you have to do is break that off so you get air back inside so this thing doesn't want to implode on you. And then cushioning the back of it, and you'd like to get it nicely cushioned on the kind of the conical back that you have, you're going to work in the center, the front in there, to bust it out. The challenge is that's much thicker glass, and it'll have a tendency to break the back. But I have successfully, after going through about three of them, so it's nice to have one of those old cars that have the four round headlights in it, bust out the front of that glass. And now what you have is where the filament in there, it's a parabolic shape to focus the beam outwards as this reflective surface. Now right where that filament is, that's where you would put your piece of cotton or your tree moss or something like that on a bright sunny day when you point it at the sun. The incoming rays of the sun are going to reflect back and concentrate on that point. So just like the old magnifying trick when you were a kid out there, burning holes and things that you might have got yelled at for burning them in the wrong things, you can do the same thing there with this little reflector from the headlamp. The biggest challenge is just being able to bust out the front of them. If you had a glass cutter in your tools, and I don't happen to have one in my tool set in my car, but if you happen to have one or some kind of a diamond scratcher, you might be able to do it a little more easily. But there's thoughts of what you do. The other thing that will help, by the way, if you have some duct tape, when you're wanting to get that lamp, if you will tape up the backside away from the front, tape that up with the duct tape, it'll help it from shattering. And if it should break or crack down the side, I didn't have tape when I did this. I was just thinking about this. If you had duct tape, you really taped up the back of that thing very, very well and got it sticking to it, even if it cracked the back and put some cracks into it, it wouldn't fall apart, because that was the thing when you bust out the front and a crack runs down the side, and then the whole thing crumbles apart. So tape that thing up. That's going to make it easier. And even if they are broken, as long as it's held in place, it won't matter. It'll still work as a parabolic reflector to start a fire. So anyway, there are thoughts and ideas of what you can do and how you can harvest materials out of a car. You have a world of things there. Now, last week we talked about using the oil and the gas and being able to start a fire and things like that, burning the spare tire to attract attention, or some of the plastic things if you needed to make a smudge fire, a smoke fire. So go back and listen to last week's program and then the previous three or four prior to that, I think there were four prior to that, on cold weather winter injury avoidance. And that's what this whole series has been about, trying to make things as practical as we can for you and that kind of fit the time in the season that we're in. We've already had several people lose their lives to the directly to the weather by being stranded. We've had snowmobilers that have been stuck. They were not prepared, and they didn't make it. We've had some folks in automobiles that didn't make it because they were not prepared. You know, the ones that's so unfortunate are the folks, the car gets stranded, and they decide they're going to, in the blizzard, in the storm, in the cold, they're going to walk out to safety, and they find them a couple of miles away dead. It's such a shame because you have so many resources around the car. And I know with a car, the attitude is, it's like, oh, I spent $30,000 for this thing or whatever it is, and it's like, you want me to be chopping it up? Well, you're going to have to choose one. Now, what's more important? Do you want to have all your toes and your feet left or, you know, the front seat of your car? I mean, which one really is more valuable? And sometimes people just don't think that they just don't want to have to replace those things. Well, you're going to have a hard time growing a new foot. You can buy a new seat. So my suggestion is sacrifice those materials and things that take care of you and the people around you. And that makes it an adventure. You'll have something to talk and teach people about and share with them. So that's where you have to take advantage of the materials and advantage of your attitude to say, I'm more important than my car. Right after this break, we'll finish some more.
The Berkey Light's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkey Light, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkey Light is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkey Light, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. 9200.
It's not a matter of if, but when. If it happens, you want to be ready to give your loved ones a fighting chance. Do not rely on someone else to come through for you at a time when it could be about life and death. Your best chance is Safe Castle Royal, the premier crisis preparedness buyers club out there. Members get everything at rock bottom pricing with at least 20% off everything in our store all the time and free shipping to the lower 48. Emergency storage food, prefab shelters and safe rooms, and hundreds of other essential products will get you through the toughest of times. Right now you can join the club for only $10, a one-time lifetime fee that gets you some of the best prices anywhere on preparedness products. Please use the coupon code CLUBRADIO when joining to receive your special membership price. Do it now. Go to SafeCastleRoyal.com. That's SafeCastleRoyal.com. Sign up and use the Club Radio coupon code or call 1-877-673-2394 and be on your way to peace of mind that comes with being prepared.
If your body isn't feeling too well these days, you're going to start taking this hemp, I say. Go to HempUSA.org. You may not like what I'm about to say, but you know I'm gonna say it anyway. The government doesn't want the best for you. They keep you down, they keep you blue. They starve your body for all its nutrients. They won't let you grow industrial hemp. It really doesn't make any kind of sense when it's so healthy for the world and useful for you, my friends. I hope Mr. Bush will hear this song, for the heart of America wants this one. Go to hempusa.org. If you're a truther, an anarchist, or renegade, you only want things that God has made. Go to hempusa.org. We offer free shipping anywhere in the States. Go to hempusa.org.
Welcome back. This is Jim Phillips as we're finishing up on this beautiful day with Prepare Without Fear. Just some thoughts that have been shared with you. I hope that you will play with them. Go back and listen to previous programs. Try some of these things out. Make a few things. Go get an old car seat. That's what I did. I haven't take my primary car and chop up the seat to see what's inside of it so I'd understand what to do. You go to the junkyard and you can get a seat or abandoned car. You find them sometimes dumped out different places. And that's what I've done. So you might do that. Just have fun with it and explore some of these things. Experiment with them. Try sewing with some wire, some stiff wire. Take some stranded wire apart and see those little strands in there and twist them up and fold them over around some thread and see how you'd sew with them. It's not easy to do, necessarily. It's not the same as needle and thread, but it certainly is better than going cold. These are the kinds of things you can play with and get a little bit of practice with, and so that when the time comes, you don't have to try and remember, now, what did that guy on that radio say to do? That's why you play with them now. See, once you've taken an idea and you've physically, kinetically, if you will, you've got the whole body involved. You got your eyes and your thinking and your fingers, and you twist up some things, you make them work. You're going to remember them much better from then on. So that's why I recommend that you experiment now with things rather than wait till you're in the middle of an emergency trying to remember. You know, you're trying to get the theory and turn it into knowledge. You do that now before things get tough. Make up some of this footwear, you know, cut up some carpet and do a little stitching. I mean, that's all that I've done. I've played with it so that I have an understanding of what I could do. That's really what it comes down to in changing your attitude about cold weather, about winter, about emergencies, about disasters. You change your attitude with knowledge. Knowledge is information multiplied by experience. And that's why you do it now while things are comfortable. You know, it's what I tell people in this winter camping and cold weather, and even if they're building all the clothing and making the things, I tell them, please don't wander off into the middle of the Arctic the first time. Go into your backyard. Go onto the porch. Go out in the unheated garage. Get out on the deck. Just do it in the backyard the first time. So that if something is wrong, you've made a mistake for, you know, you didn't remember to take off your cotton long johns underneath, you know, the foam. That's a disaster when you do that. It'll really mess up the performance. And you just didn't think about it because it's such a habit to do these other things. And if something isn't working, you can bail out for the time being. There's no dishonor in the learning experience. Absolutely no dishonor in the experience of learning when things don't work quite right. The dishonor is if you say, well, that didn't work, I'll never do that again. That's where I'd say the dishonor comes in, the silliness comes in, where you don't solve the problem, you just quit. Failure is only achieved by quitting. The only way that you can fail is to say, I quit, I'm not going to do this. So keep that in mind as you go forward. Live a provident life where you're making provisions in all the areas that you can face the future without fear, so that you can also say that you understand that tomorrow will come, but I'm prepared to meet it. And how I'm prepared to meet it means that no matter what happens, it will be an adventure, and I can enjoy my life, and I can continue as long as I'm allowed to, as long as I am supposed to, help you, your family, and people around you, no matter what comes, so that you may find joy.